This morning's scripture is from the letter to the Galatians, once again from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, The Message. Live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore them, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day's out. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. If you think you are too good for that, well, friends, you are badly deceived. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. Be very sure now, you who have been trained to a self-sufficient maturity, that you enter into a generous common life with those who have trained you, sharing all the good things that you have and that you experience. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, they will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. And they'll have to show for their life, all they'll have to show for their life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in them, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. Let us sing now, "This is my song, O God of all the nations."
This is my song, O God of all the nations, a song of peace for lands afar and mine. This is my home, the country where my Lord is. Here are my dreams, my own shine. But other hearts in other lands are beating with hopes and dreams as true and high as mine. My country's skies are bluer than ocean, and sunlight beams on clover leaf and pine. But other lands have sunlight too and clover, and skies are everywhere as blue as mine. Song, O God of all the nations, a song of peace for their land and for mine.
Pray with me. Oh God, we pray this day with heavy hearts for our nation. We are a divided people. We are a people in need of reconciliation. We are a people in need of speaking truth, doing so always, always in love. We confess our impatience and our unwillingness to listen to one another. We seek powers of this world to solve our problems, yet they are imperfect and temporary, shallow and in need of your direction. We look to you, O God, to order our paths and lead us forward. By the cross of Jesus and in the power of the Spirit, we pray. Amen. Once again, Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of this passage from Paul's letter to the Galatians could be the sermon in itself today. From its opening line, "Live creatively, friends," to its admonition to make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you've been given, and then sink yourselves into that, to its reminder that what a person plants, they will harvest, to its closing caution to work for the benefit of all. It gives good guidance as to how we might walk the Jesus way. Last week, we focused on one of Paul's best-known sound bites: "For freedom, Christ has set us free," and that certainly is relevant again today. There are several more of those sound bites in this week's text, including "bear one another's burdens." How often have we heard that? "You reap what you sow." But from this collection, I was particularly taken this week by Paul's encouraging the Galatian church: "Let us not grow weary in doing what is right." Or as Peterson paraphrases, "Let us not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good." The paraphrase brings to mind conversations that I've had in recent years about compassion fatigue. There is a compassion fatigue awareness project, if you didn't know, if you weren't aware. The Compassion Fatigue Awareness Project defines the phenomenon as a state experienced by those helping people or animals in distress. It is an extreme state of tension and preoccupation with the suffering of those being helped, to the degree that it can create a secondary traumatic stress for the helper. As with other stressors, compassion fatigue can lead to a kind of numbness, or, as the dictionary puts it, indifference to charitable appeals on behalf of those who are suffering, experienced as a result of the frequency or number of such appeals. How many of those appeals do you get in your mailbox or your email box every week? Well, I won't put you on the spot, but do a quick inventory for yourself. Have you ever felt compassion fatigue? Have you ever felt yourself worn out from doing good or grown weary of doing the right thing? I'll confess, I have, not to the extent maybe of feeling traumatized or giving up, but sometimes the needs are just so overwhelming and my resources seem so, so slim. Paul gets it. He has a feel for compassion fatigue. Just think of all the things that he faced in his lifetime. There must have been times when he wanted to take a vacation or have a leave of absence. At the same time, he anchored his living in his deeply held belief that the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in them, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. It seems it was enough to keep him going. Something like the Energizer Bunny. Well, here's what I think the key ingredient is in Paul's gardening advice: be very sure now you have been trained to a self-sufficient you who have been trained to a self-sufficient maturity, that you enter into a generous common life with those who have trained you, sharing all the good things that you have and experience. You see, the business of doing right, of practicing goodness, is not a solitary activity. Yes, we each need to cultivate a self-sufficient maturity in terms of a willingness and a capacity for taking care of ourselves, of living as responsible individuals, but that's only half of the formula. The other equally crucial half is that even the most self-sufficiently mature individual needs others. We are made to be whole human beings in community. In truth, one cannot be whole without community. That's why Paul encourages the Galatians, live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore them, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day's out. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. If you think you're too good for that, you're badly deceived. And then he says, the person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. See, the challenge is to understand that ignoring the needs of others is to ignore God and God's desire to bring fully into being that beloved community, the unity and harmony of all creation. Get together, people. I can only imagine how it's been for you, but this has been a difficult season for me. I can remember a time when celebrating this country's Independence Day was an innocent and joyful occasion. It's hard for me to feel patriotic these days. I want to minimize the celebration. It's not that I believe that there's nothing good about the USA. For the most part, I still hold hope that we might yet fulfill the promise of the land of the free, that we might yet become one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. The frustrating thing about what living in the USA, especially for a person of faith, is feeling that there is so little I can do to make the needed difference, especially as a lone individual. Does anyone care if I stay home and don't celebrate? Maybe you get it this morning. The truth is, I get weary when I try to figure it out all by myself. Fatigue sets in, and I'm not sure where to turn, even if I had the energy or found it. And then here comes Paul, exhorting us to keep doing good. Let's not grow weary in doing what is right. Let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. You know, there's a spiritual that sings, walk together, children, don't you get weary. To this call comes the response, we're going to walk and never tire. There's a great camp meeting in the promised land. This is not about a poor wayfaring stranger traveling through this world alone. It's God's children banded together, walking hand in hand to the promised land. It's God's, reminds me of that old folk song, we're marching to Pretoria. It starts, I'm with you and you're with me, and so we are all together, hand in hand, walking to the promised land. It's God's beloved community helping each other every step of the way. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. If you think you're too good for that, you are badly deceived. The infamous nun on a bus, Sister Simone Campbell, writes wisely of our nation in its troubled state. She says a democracy cannot survive if various groups and individuals only pull away in different directions. Such separation will not guarantee that all are allowed the opportunity for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All people must be recognized for their inherent dignity and gifts, regardless of the color of their skin, their religious beliefs, or their place of origin. And all these gifts, she says, need to be shared in order to build up the whole. We need all of us to be us. We need all of us pulling together to be us at all. So keep doing good. Here's motivating news for the weary and fatigued person of faith. Christ has set us free to do what is right, free to love, and we are also free to serve, and that we should make a difference in how we live our lives. That should make a difference in how we live our lives, our freedom to love, our freedom to serve. Don't get tired of doing the right thing. It will always pay off in God's beloved community. A couple of years ago, a noted music educator, Shoshana Hershkovitz, penned these words for Independence Day. She says, "I don't like where we are as a country in this moment. Truth is, I don't like where we've been. But dear God, I love this nation and the people who live here with me. I want us to be better, to finally live up to the unfulfilled promise of this nation that we have yet to realize." She says, "I don't know if, when, and how we'll get there, but I know that it's part of my life's work to try." This is a powerful witness to keep doing good. "I don't know if and when and how we'll get there, but I know it's part of my life's work to try." Walk together, children. Don't you get weary. If I do not bear witness to the truth, if I don't speak up for what is right, if I don't proclaim the good news, who will? And if not here, then where? And if not now, then when? But my lone voice is not enough. I need you to join with me. Many voices swell the chorus. Hershkovitz concludes, "Today, as I write this with tears streaming down my face, trying to make sense of a country where we put kids in cages and have tanks in the streets of the capital, I reaffirm my patriotism. I won't wave a flag or beat my chest and scream freedom to prove it. My passion, my dissent, my voice is what makes me a patriot. And our willingness to bear one another's burdens, to stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed, to share their burdens, to enter into a generous common life, sharing all the good things that we have and experience, to plant in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work within, even when it's hard and we are weary, will make us Christians, children of God, produce of the Spirit. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest in the community of faith, and spreading out from there to the very ends of the earth. Whatever happens in the days ahead, keep doing good." Amen.